Good evening, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. You know, there's so much bad news that comes out of this city. I don't need to tell you that. But I have some good news tonight. It may actually even be historic news. I'm not saying it's earth-shaking. But then again, it might be earth-shaking. It may be the beginning of an explosion. It may be a rumble that may change the complexion of politics as usual in Washington, D.C. You know, we only have a couple minutes here before the upcoming break, so I'm going to keep the news till afterward, after the break, because I just happened to pick up a rather small circulation but highly influential publication today called the New York Review of Books. And it's actually a pretty good publication. It's got a bit of a liberal reputation, as anything coming out of New York City you might expect to have. But occasionally, actually more often than not, you'll find some very interesting reading in it. And, you know, as I always say, folks, although the mass media in this country, particularly the broadcast media, with the obvious exception of independent voices like RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, for the most part, the broadcast media in this country, the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, of course, we can't leave them out. These major networks are all, well, they're all bought and paid for. They're all sources of disinformation and misinformation. Let's call it what it is, a pack of lies, or factual information that is so distorted that, you know, people who rely on television and radio for their news and information, again, I emphasize the major media, they really don't get much. They really don't get the news they need to know. But sometimes in the major media, the print media, magazines and newspapers, you will find some information of value. If you know where to look, if you know where to dig, and if you know how to put it in context, and that information I'm going to be bringing you after the break, I think will be of great interest to all the listeners here at RBN. Well, we have a whole week just whipped by again, folks. It's hard to believe. I start looking back at the day since I started this broadcast on February 1st, and now we're moving toward June. It's hard to believe. I always say I have enjoyed this broadcast so much and getting to know so many of our callers and folks at the Republic Broadcasting Office and down there in Texas. And I've gotten a lot of good emails and letters and telephone calls from people in response to this program. And tonight, if anybody has any criticisms or comments about the format of my program in general, I wish you'd call in. Don't be afraid to make your comments known to me, and I don't mind you making them on the air. Please do it. Call in and let me know what you think. Do you like the way I've been handling the program? Is it an open forum? What do you think? Is it too much Mike Piper? Not enough Mike Piper. I'd be curious as to what the listeners think of what I've been doing here on the air, and I don't want you to call in and say, "Oh, it's great." I'm looking for people who have serious criticisms who'd like to say what they have to say. You know, we had a caller criticizing one of the other hosts here. He called my show to do it last evening, but you know, I told him the place to take your criticisms is not the other hosts and the other radio programs, but take it to the host himself or herself, as the case may be. So, like I say, I'm inviting open criticism here tonight because, you know, for me to perform, for me to do what I need to do, you need to tell me what it is I need to do. So please call in, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you here on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for that big information I've been promising you.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. Been a very busy week for me. I'm getting ready for my big trip to Malaysia coming up here at the beginning of June, so lots of little day-to-day details I have to take care of. I'm finishing a book. I have some day-to-day work for American Free Press, our favorite national weekly newspaper. And, of course, I have this nightly call-in forum here on RBN. And at the beginning of the hour here, I suggested that if you have any criticisms of this program in general, I'd like to hear them. Don't be afraid to call in. I'm not going to scream my head off. I probably won't even throw you off the air. I've never done that yet. I've always wanted to do it. I used to listen to Bob Grant up in New York on WOR Radio, and he relished throwing people off the air. I think that was part of his shtick, as they call it in Yiddish. But thus far, I haven't had to throw anybody off the air. But, you know, there's been a few times I've been itching to do it. But I haven't. But like I say, if you do have any criticisms, if you've been a regular listener to the show in particular, that's what I'm talking about. If you have any suggestion, any advice, just let me know. I'd be curious to hear it. Don't be afraid. You know, I got pretty thick skin. I've been hammered at by some pretty big people, and I'm still around. So, you know, I can take it. That call-in number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Now, of course, you're free to call in and talk about anything you want, or virtually anything you want. This is a family program. But, and, you know, we generally stick to politics around here. But, like I say, feel free to call. Now, the big news I was promising, and, you know, it really is big news, folks. Most of you, like me, unless you're from Minnesota, perhaps, have probably never heard of a lady by the name of Betty McCollum. Her name is spelled, well, we know all how to spell Betty, I guess, but her last name is spelled McCollum, capital M, small c, capital C, O-L-L-U-M. Well, she is a member of Congress from the 4th District of Minnesota. She's from the St. Paul area, and I believe she used to serve on the St. Paul City Council. In any case, she is a nice congresswoman. Apparently, she's Roman Catholic by faith. She's divorced, and she's only been in Congress a couple terms. She did create some controversy a few years ago when she refused to say "under God" while delivering the Pledge of Allegiance in Congress. Now, I know a lot of people won't approve of that, but, you know, that's Ms. McCollum's opinion on that. But she has an opinion on another matter that I think is of great interest. Here goes, folks. This, as I say, I think is truly historic, and it may be a harbinger of bad things to come for a very powerful lobby in Washington, D.C. In the June 8th issue of the New York Review of Books, on page 73, is published a letter to AIPAC, and it's from Congresswoman Betty McCollum. AIPAC, of course, is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Now, this issue of the New York Review of Books has a very interesting article about the truth about the Israel lobby. That's the famous paper by a University of Chicago and Harvard University combine of two professors who raised some serious criticisms of the Israeli lobby. And it's interesting, this essay by Michael Massing in the New York Review of Books says that despite its many flaws, that essay has performed a very useful service in forcing into the open a subject that has for too long remained taboo. Well, accompanying that commentary and that essay is this letter to AIPAC from Betty McCollum. Now, apparently, Ms. McCollum voted in a House committee. There was a vote of 36-2. She was only one of two people in the House International Relations Committee who voted against a so-called Palestinian Anti-Terrorism Act. Well, this legislation, which was approved by the House International Relations Committee, has restrictions on aid to the Palestinian Authority and restrictions on the Bush administration's ability to deal with the Palestinians, and she was against it. She thinks that there's better ways to deal with the subject. Well, in any case, she now, Congresswoman McCollum, has written this letter to Howard Kaur, K-O-H-R. He's the executive director of AIPAC. And she writes as follows. I'm not going to read you the whole letter, but I'm going to read you the relevant parts. Dear Mr. Kaur, during my 19 years serving in elected office, including the past 5 years as a member of Congress, never has my name and reputation been maligned or smeared as it was last week by a representative of AIPAC. Last Friday, during a call with my chief of staff, an AIPAC representative from Minnesota, who has frequently lobbied me on behalf of your organization, stated that, quote, on behalf of herself, the Jewish community, AIPAC, and the voters of the 4th District, Congresswoman McCollum's support for terrorists will not be tolerated. Ironically, adds Mrs. McCollum, this individual, who does not even live in my congressional district, feels free to speak for my constituents. This response, she says, may have been the result of extreme emotion or irrational passion, but regardless, it is a hateful attack that is vile and offensive to me and the families I represent. I call on AIPAC to immediately condemn this un-American attack and disavow any attempt to use this type of threat and intimidation to stifle legitimate policy differences. I will not stand to be labeled or threatened in a manner that questions my patriotism or my oath of office. Okay, she goes on to talk about the particular legislation. Then she says, you and your colleagues at AIPAC have the right to disagree with my position on any piece of legislation. But for an AIPAC representative to say that I would ever vote to support Middle East terrorists over the interests of my country will never be tolerated by me or the families I serve. This incident rises to a level in which a formal written apology is required. Mr. Kaur, I am a supporter of a strong U.S.-Israeli relationship, she writes, and my voting record speaks for itself. This will not change. However, Congresswoman McCollum concludes, until I receive a formal written apology from your organization, I must inform you that AIPAC representatives are not welcome in my offices or for meetings with my staff. Betty McCollum, Member of Congress, 4th District, Minnesota. According to this issue of New York Review of Books, as of May 11th, AIPAC has yet to respond to her demand for an apology. Folks, this is a Member of Congress who has thrown AIPAC lobbyists out of her office. Of course, things could change. But folks, what's very, very interesting is that this letter has been released publicly by the Congresswoman, obviously. Mr. Howard Kaur of AIPAC would have never released it. You know, we have a real man in Congress here, Betty McCollum. Now, I know some of our listeners don't like the idea of women serving in public office or having any say in political affairs, but I'll tell you what, I can't think of another single member of Congress, with the possible exception of Jim Traficant, who they threw in jail for his service to America and not to Israel. I can't think of any other member of Congress who'd have the guts to say what Mrs. McCollum has said. And I think people should call her office on Monday and congratulate her. And, you know, I think this is a sign that the power of the Zionist lobby is starting to crack. She obviously represents the thinking of a lot of people, and good for Congresswoman McCollum. Maybe that's not earth-shaking news to you folks, but I do think it's news that needs to be known. It's good news, and I was thrilled to read it myself. All right, well, we have quite a few callers lined up here. Uh-oh, I'm getting kind of scared. They're getting ready to tell me what they really think about this program, or maybe they have something else to say that has nothing to do with this program. But I guess everything that's said here does have to do with this program because it's freedom of speech. So let's go to Larry from Florida.
Hello, Mike.
Larry, how are you?
Hi. Long time since I've been able to call. I've been, as they say, I've been busier than a pair of jumper cables at a Puerto Rican wedding.
Okay.
Anyway, when you first started this show, I had a criticism. I kept it to myself. You were too nice.
Hey, I'm a nice guy. What do you expect?
Well, here's what I mean. You would allow callers to just talk and talk and talk, which is fine, but and then you would hold them over the break. And let them talk and talk and talk some more. And of course, you don't only get two or three callers a show, you know, because you run out of time in the beginning. But you're mastering the art of kind of hurrying people along and getting them to be a little more concise and make their point and then make, you know, get on out of there and let the next guy get in.
Well, you know, actually, that's interesting, Larry, because sometimes, you know, when you're in this end, you know, and you hear someone calls in for the first time, or not even necessarily for the first time, but somebody calls in and makes a point, and then they're talking, and it gets me thinking, and then I start thinking about other things, and I'm curious as to where they're going to go. So sometimes that's actually quite deliberate. I want to hear where they're going with something. But anyway, I appreciate you. I mean, obviously, you responded to my inquiry, and I appreciate that. So.
Is this your first radio show that you ever hosted?
Yes, and it may well be my last, Larry. Well, now, listen, here's that break. If you want to stay over the break, you're more than welcome.
Okay, and I'll make a real quick comment after that and let the next guy in.
All right, sounds good, Larry. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that. All right. Okay, folks, this is Michael Collins Piper. We do have a raft of callers lined up, and we're going to squeeze them all in one way or the other. Stay tuned to RBN, Public Broadcasting Network.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming back to you from Washington. We held Larry from Florida over the break, and Larry said he had a couple more comments. So, Larry, go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to make it fast.
That's all right.
As far as the suggestion for the future, I would like to see more guests, especially authors, on your show.
Okay.
That's always very interesting. I mean, you know, the folks out here in Radio Land have got a lot of interesting things to say, but there ain't nothing like having somebody who's really researched a particular subject.
All right. Well, you know, I'll tell you, the guys down at RBN have suggested I have more guests, and I am going to be trying to do that in the future. So, all right, I appreciate that, Larry.
Okay, and one more suggestion.
Yeah.
As everybody knows, I'm the big racist around here.
All right. Okay.
There was a time... and it's still in effect, it's still enforced, where you just don't talk about the Zionist lobby in the United States and Jewish power. It's just not polite conversation. And it's been that way since me and you was before we were born.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for a long time.
Probably why the power has gotten a lot more considerably extensive, too.
Right.
But anyway, yeah.
And, And I've had people scream in my face, what do you want? Gas chambers again? You want the ovens? Are you a Nazi? You know, I've had people scream in my face so loud whenever, and this is 20 years ago. I've been this way for a long time. People would scream in my face so loud, saying, especially Jews. Jews are big screamers. And name callers, you know, why don't you crawl back under the
rock?
Now,
you know, somebody would say that's a racist remark, but I don't care because I think you're absolutely right. That's absolutely true. But go ahead, yeah.
Well, you know, it just wasn't spoken of. You know, it was out there, and not many people knew about it, you know. You know, nobody really gave it much thought. And now people are starting to think about it thanks to people like you. Here's, mark my words today, people, there's another elephant in the living room nobody will talk about, and that's race, and especially non-white crime. You can go to a place like Iowa or South Dakota where, you know, it's 99.9% white, and you can leave your doors unlocked, you can leave your keys in your car, you know, I mean, just nothing ever happens. But the thing is that people, you know, they might not want to talk about it, but they've got to talk about it. Someday they're going to have to face the facts, and they can scream and yell and call me names all they want to, but they're going to have to, just like the Israeli power, the Jewish power, they're going to have to face the facts of who is causing the decline of the white race. It's not just us getting all decadent and stupid and lazy because of modern times and soft living. No, we have been steered in the wrong direction for a long time. And that's all I got to say.
All right.
And thank you very much.
Larry, appreciate you calling. Okay, now we have Richard in Alabama. Richard, why don't you come on up here?
Hi.
How are you doing, Richard?
All right. I want to hear Bessie Andrews on the air more often, and I want to hear Ralph Wetterode more often. And I want you to interview those two guys that wrote Cracking the Code. And
Cracking the Code, is that one of the books about the Da Vinci Code?
No, it's about the commercial code.
I'm sorry, I know which book you're talking about. In fact, right. I believe, well, no, I don't. I'll have to check on that. That's Cracking the Code, you say?
Yeah, there was two guys that wrote that.
Yeah, you know,
they were put out of business.
Okay, now.
But they've still got their intelligence. Anyway.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm just making a note of that right here. Okay, I was confusing that book with another book that's on my shelf. You know, I get so many emails, and then I'm a pretty big reader myself. I tell you what, Richard, I'm sitting here looking at a little shelf of books that I want to write reviews of for American Free Press, and right now I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, well, I can't count them all. I would say there's four stacks of about 9 books each. So you can understand why I might get confused by a title of a book. But
I think Cracking the Code was the smartest and most important book that I have in the house.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do some checking on that and see what we can do. How's that sound?
And we need more programs about how to do things.
Richard, that's very, very interesting. You know,
how to solve problems.
I mentioned that. I think I may have mentioned that in passing last night. I was having on the program here. I had a conversation with I mentioned a conversation with him on the program. Jeff Smith. He's been a longtime correspondent for American Free Press, and that's one of the things he said that he thinks that American Free Press needs to do. And I think he feels that way about the Patriot movement in general. That we need to. We can bring all the information out about things that are going on, but unless we can provide solutions or directions to people on what they can do, that's important too. That's then, and you're absolutely right. And Richard, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. And about your previous caller, you know that I do notice that white girls are having very few children, and about half of their babies are mixed race, and there's hardly any young white couples with children anymore. And ultimately, we are doomed.
Well, everybody's trying to survive and pay the bills, I'm sorry to say.
If you call it.
Richard, thanks for your call. Folks, we have a break coming up here.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over a million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England. And the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, taking your calls on whatever you want to talk about, generally, and of course I did solicit comments and criticisms, particularly criticisms, about what I've been doing here on this program since it debuted on February 1st. Well, whatever the case may be, we do have a caller, Davey from Dallas. Davey, come on up.
Hey, man, I'm glad you made it on there.
All right, well, I guess the... Some people may be glad, some people may not be. What do you have to say?
Well, I mean, you've done a lot of research over the years, and I can only say I hope that there's a lot of people out there that get a chance to listen on the shortwave radio that I have that only goes down to 5 on the dial, and I can't hardly pull it in. So I called in. Mr. Jim told me you were on there, so I got to listen to the last 15 minutes or so on the phone.
Oh, okay. So you called in on the RBN listen line?
Right.
Oh, okay, great. Now, that's for those that don't know about that, I'm glad you brought that up, Davey. The RBN listen line is a telephone number. You have to pay long distance to call it from your own line, from your own telephone. You have to have long distance service. But for a donation of only $15 a month to RBN, they'll fix you up so that you can call in on that line and listen to any of the programming you want for as long as you want right here on RBN. And what's great about that, of course, is, you know, long-distance telephone prices with calling cards and everything else, you know, these companies are competing with one another, and long-distance calling costs aren't that much anymore. So if you really want to hear a program that you can't, or maybe you couldn't hear it on shortwave one night, or your computer's down, you can call that line. So I'm glad you tried it out, Davey. It certainly worked for you, I guess. So
that's a great deal there. Say, I don't know how many other people you got holding, but I got a couple items here for you.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll try to squeeze.
We had Speedy Gonzalez down here yesterday in Texas, checking out the border, you know, and all. And I was wondering out there if other people have seen these ads in the want ad section for tactical officers for special response military police. Experience required, emergency deployments nationwide. Starting at $795 a week plus $25 per diem. It's specialresponse.com. I don't know if these are popping up other places around the country, but
I suspect they probably are. That's very, very interesting. What's that called? Specialresponse.com.
Correct.
That sounds like they might be setting up a mercenary army for right here in the...
Not that they don't have two or three already.
Right, exactly. You know, but, you know, if the... If the bad boys have big plans for us, you know, they're going to need as many well-paid mercenaries as they can get, you know?
I tell you, though, these days, $7.95 a week doesn't seem to be very much of an offer.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. You know, all of us somehow manage to survive. Most of us are wage slaves, and there's probably a lot of people that would be very happy to get that.
Yeah, I hear you. The other thing about that is that it appears that, you know, the way they behave, they'll be twiddling their hand over here on one side and smacking you upside the head on the other side, you know.
Well, that's our police state for
you. And they're pointing down there at the border, and then, you know, I'm just wondering if they go to commencing to do their special activities program, whatever they got lined up, if there wouldn't be a rush of Americans trying to get the heck out of here. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I tell you, you know, a few years ago, you may recall this, you may have heard about it, we certainly reported it in the old Spotlight newspaper. They actually did a survey of U.S. Marines at one of the Marine bases in California, asking them if they would be willing, under certain circumstances, to fire on American citizens. So, you know, they're seriously looking at using our military as a police force here on American soil. And
well, I tell you, Mike, there's so much to talk about. I was wondering, did you ever get to look into the EMET group there in Washington, D.C.?
I don't know the name offhand. How is that spelled?
It's EMET. It was reported by Joel Rosenberg back in August of 2001. August the 15th, he has an internet news magazine called The World.
I may have heard of that, but I never heard of this EMET group. What's that about?
Yeah, it was only in there for a little bit. I think you can find it archived at APFN Message Board Archive.
Oh, okay. I'm sure I can probably. You know, it does sound vaguely familiar, but off the top of my head, yeah.
What it was these Zionists in Washington, Leonard Abramson, Lou Ranieri. There was a list of them there. And they set up this EMET war room in Washington to, they felt, allegedly reported by Joel C. Rosenberg, that the Palestinians were receiving too much favorable press over here in the U.S. But their more direct aim was to introduce the notion, along with the neocons, of course, that Iran and Iraq posed a real threat.
Oh, okay,
Gene Kirkpatrick and Jack Kemp were named as advisors.
Okay, this is ringing a bell, and yeah, I guess that.
Well, the point about it for me was, I was out in California. It just so oddly happened that the building that I was in at the time had the West Coast offices of the ONI CID. And I mean, you know, here's 2 weeks before they do the biggest job, smoke and mirrors, inside job in the history of the world, you know, because some guy in a cave on the other side of the world doesn't know what trillions of dollars of national defense is being spent on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just mysteriously weaves around, you know, all these guys at NORAD and NSA and all that. And to fly two remote-controlled planes, I don't understand how they get 19 Arabs on two remote-controlled aircraft.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Davey, I mentioned this on the show before. Whenever I was over in the Middle East, I had the opportunity to meet with one of the top people in one of the Arab countries there, and he had no brief for Osama bin Laden. If anything, if Osama bin Laden, if he's for real, he'd probably want to cut this guy's head off. But in any case, this guy told me very affirmatively that Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda had absolutely no capacity whatsoever. No capacity whatsoever to carry off 911 without state support.
I mean, it's just so obvious.
Yeah. I mean, and he just said this very matter-of-factly. He said, you know, he had gone to school in London, and he had seen the operations of the Irish Republican Army in those days, and he said that al-Qaeda was at about the level of the Irish Republican Army. And yet, like you say, this whole smoke and mirrors of September 11th has been...
Well, you know, Mike, what gets me, of course, I've been studying on this for, you know, 30-plus years, but... Did you ever watch the movie Lawrence of Arabia?
Great movie, yeah.
You know, and they get to Damascus, and what do you see? They're all huddled together, getting along real nice, like Cub Scouts, you know, or roasting weenies or whatever, right? You know, I mean, come on. You know, these are Arabs. And that's the thing about it, you know, the American people are just so blastly stupid because all they do is sit in front of Talmud Vision for 24 hours a day and just soak up nonsense.
You know what? I'm going to write that down. Davey, Talmud Vision.
I'm going to tell you something else, Mike.
Go ahead.
Look, the bottom line for Americans, we need to learn how to speak the same language here.
All right? That's true enough.
Okay. And when we see a terrorist, this to me is a terrorist. I'm in Texas, all right? When I see people going over my neighbor's house with helicopters and shooting into there where there's women and children,
mm-hmm.
and then they surround the place with tanks and they wind up burning the place down with them in it.
I think they did that down in Waco, didn't they?
Yeah, you're right. Well, those are terrorists that did that. Before that, they shot a little boy in the back, shot his dog, shot his mama in the face on the front porch holding the baby. Those are terrorists, all right?
That's right.
That is not government, all right? American people, you got the Bill of Rights, you got the Declaration of Independence. Even if you believe that's all Rosicrucian, Jesuit, Masonic nonsense, the bottom line is, without the agreement right up front to pursue justice, the whole deal's off.
Well, you know, they killed the husband of my friend Joan Call. And, you know, I'm going to have Joan on air one night. There's a guest we need to have on the air. Bring Joan on and let her tell what's been done to her son and what happened to her.
And there's so many stories, you know, in this country.
Yes, Davey, speaking of which, we have so many callers, got to move on. Good talking to you. I like that Talmud Vision. Let's go to Bob from St. Louis. Bob, come on up.
Hi. You know, what I was wondering was, if you think back to the last elections, what I'd like to see is someone do an analysis of the people who are on the Democratic side running for the president. If I'm not mistaken, not one of them was not a Jew. Kerry's Jewish, as you know. His grandfather was Jewish, and he changed his name and changed over to Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Bush is a cousin of his. I don't know if you realize that.
Mm-hmm.
He's Jewish. And I would also like to look and see, if anybody could, to see who the people are in his cabinet, how many of these people are Jewish. And as you know, the Jewish, so-called Jewish, really communist Bolsheviks, they're the ones behind the civil rights movement. You know, equality? What happened to the equality when it comes in terms of Jewish people?
Well, about 1%... you know, there is this double standard. That's true enough. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Bob.
You can't be an American and be not anti-Semitic. There's no ifs and buts about it. We have a right to be represented in this country. This is our country. This is not a Jewish country. They're doing it over to the Christians in this country what they're doing in Israel right now. Jewish satanic government we got up there. And if you could at some point, it would be really nice for you to go to the people who were on the Democratic side running for the president and as to who is in the cabinet of George Bush and how many of these are Jews. And is there anybody to represent this country instead of the...
Well, you know something, in all fairness to the Jews, and in all fairness to the Gentiles, or maybe in all unfairness to the Gentiles, over the years there have been a lot of misdeeds perpetrated in this country on behalf of Israel, and those misdeeds have been perpetrated by Gentiles who've been bought and paid for or otherwise blackmailed by Zionist interests. So, you know, it's that's what the people, you know, whenever you say, oh, Israel got us in this war in the Middle East, a very good friend of mine, he's a credulous lad, though. I've mentioned him on this show. He always says, well, what about Rumsfeld and Rice and Bush and, you know, Colin Powell? He always says, well, they're not Jewish. And I say, no, of course they're not, but they're certainly bought and paid for.
Rumsfeld certainly is Jewish.
I've heard that said, but I've never seen it. I've never.
Oh,
seen
he is.
It.
Believe me, Feld is definitely Jewish. I guarantee
well,
you.
Well, actually, I tell you what. My very simple answer to that is this nice German lady once told me that most of the Goldbergs she knew back home in Germany were German.
I know. You did that nationally. I know they did take a lot of German names, but that's what I'm saying. Instead of having any debate about this, so once you go in. And find out what
you're
the
right,
history.
Right. You know, genealogy is a tough thing, and, you know, some night on the show I'm going to talk about the old legend that the Rockefellers are Jewish, and, you know, it is a legend. There's a lot of people who just really want to believe it, but you know, there's you can look at the facts that we do know, and then you can look at the myths and the legends. So,
well, that's what I'm saying, man. We ought to get the, you know,
well,
it should
right.
be tripled
we need
up.
To, we need to get to the facts.
Let me go back into Thomas.
Let me move on, Bob. I hate to cut you off. We have quite a few callers lined up here, and I want to try to squeeze everybody in tonight. Hey, let's go to Scott from Massachusetts. Scott, come on up.
Michael.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. I'm just wondering what question you need to have answered, my friend. I mean, it's just like the Socratic time. You don't need any guess. You don't have enough time. If they gave you another hour, you could have guests, but
well,
with an hour, you can't have any guests.
Well, I'll tell you, no, you know what? I disagree with that. I like to tell this story. I once,
Let me tell you this.
Go ahead. What do you have to say?
I've been in radio, and what I have to say is that in 1 hour, either you can have a guest or you can have callers. In 2 hours, you can do both. But you can't do it in 1 hour. But as far as the greatest, congressman in the last 20 years, beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind, it's Paul Finley. Because he has done the most in the last 20 years, and he did it 20 years ago.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
To expose AIPAC and the Zionist control of the District of Criminals where you live. Now, you ask for recommendations. Whenever anybody asks me for a recommendation, Michael, I give them one. Buy bullets. But you live in the District of Criminals, and you can't even buy bullets because the only people in the District of Criminals that can have bullets are the criminals.
Well, at least legally, anyway, or illegally.
It doesn't matter. They're all criminals because you live in the District of Criminals, and law-abiding citizens cannot have bullets. Forget it. You can't, right? Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, it's sad but true. What can I tell you?
All right. So you can't do it. But what did Mao say? Mao said all power comes out the end of a gun. That's what Mao said.
And, you know, that's why the Zionist stronghold, the stranglehold, has been so determined to encroach upon our military and get control of the American military.
And they have. And Eisenhower warned us about these people in the military-industrial complex. Now I'll ask you another question. Who controlled, during the Cold War, what group controlled the United States and what group controlled the Soviet Union?
Well, I would say just off the top of my head here and based upon a lot of study I've done, I would say that the Trotskyites were moving into power here in the United States, and
so the Zionists were controlling both sides of the equation.
I think Stalin, from what my Russian friends tell me, and from some research I've done, I think Stalin in the late 1930s into the 1940s started to break with the Zionists, and he was trying to establish his own. His own thing, so to speak.
Yeah, but he was a Jew who came from Jewish stock. And when you talk about Trotsky, you have to talk about the Hegelian dialectic. And the Hegelian dialectic goes back to the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah goes back to the synagogue of Satan, and the synagogue of Satan will accept you whether you're a Jew or anybody else. You can participate as long as you serve Satan. So it's a big tent, and there's a lot of people in it, and people need to buy bullets so that when it comes time to put these people out of their misery and send them to hell, we got the ammunition to do it with.
Okay. Well, and
if you have any questions about what's really going on, all you have to do is ask, and I'll answer it for
well,
you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. I collect daggers, so I'm pretty well armed in that direction at this point. And thus far, they're still legal here in the district.
Well,
and
who's in charge of the synagogue of Satan? You want to know that?
Well, I would. Well, tell me.
The Shabbat Lubavitch.
Well, I tell you what, right there, I hear some music coming up, and we're being pushed into the break, and I'm going to have to move on to the next call after the break.
Headline news, activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper trying to squeeze in the last couple calls here. Let's go to Ron from Oklahoma. Ron, come on up.
Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Your program is wonderful. The only comments I have are that it should be 2 hours, even though my wife would probably kill me for not getting home till 8 o'clock at night instead of 7.
Well, you can always listen to it on the archives. Remember that.
Well, yeah, but then you can't participate.
Okay.
The guy from Dallas is great. He has some very interesting things to share, and I hope he calls back again. Got to be careful, I think, about, you know, that last guy that was calling said that Stalin was a Jew and all that. Fact is that he was a Catholic, and he even was studying for the priesthood. But he did marry a Jew, and his children were all raised Jewish. Well, that says something.
Well, I tell you what there, Ron, very interesting point, something you just said there. You know, I have seen it argued rather convincingly that the legend of Stalin having been married to a Jewish woman, that may not be true. There's a lot of stuff out there that got in circulation during the Cold War, distributed by a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. And, of course, then the Soviet Union was never known for being very forthcoming. You know, they put out a lot of disinformation and misinformation themselves.
Sure. And they
But you're right. Your point is well taken,
and,
though.
You know, they even, try to hide the fact that Lenin was Jewish. So, you know,
exactly,
I mean,
exactly.
You can't. But what I wanted to say, Michael, was I think some of your callers are very interesting, but you know what we really do is call to hear you, and I think that if, you know,
that's frightening and flattering at the same time.
No, I'm the exception to it because I would normally say you should just have your callers make a couple of points, and then let's hear you. Your take on whatever questions they raise. Now, but let me just take a second, if I could. There's an article in this week's American Conservative by Yuri Avineri.
I've seen it. Interesting article.
Yeah, it is. And the one thing here, when he was coming to the United States, he's Jewish and he's a member of the Knesset. And he was here in the United States and he was going to talk about a two-state solution, and he was scheduled to speak at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Berkeley, etc., and the Jewish Anti-Defamation League put out the word, and they canceled all of his appearances. And then he says here that the Quakers held the news conference, and the whole media was there. They bombarded me with questions for another 2 hours. Clearly, what I had to say was quite new to them, and they were interested. I was curious as to how this would be reported in the media. Not a word appeared in any of the newspapers, on radio or TV. Not a single word.
That's called,
and I think that says it all. You know,
that's called media control.
Absolutely,
absolutely right. That's a very interesting article. That's out of Pat Buchanan's magazine.
Yes, sir. And I think, you know, sometime you might want to review that article. Has so many interesting points in it, and I'd like to hear your comments.
Yeah,
thank you, Michael.
All right, appreciate it, Ron.
Is there any way you can get another hour?
Well, this has been mentioned. It scares the hell out of me. We'll see what happens.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ron. Okay, we've got Ben in Florida. Ben. No, we don't have Ben in Florida. What we have is the end of the hour. Boy, oh boy, folks, it does go fast, for better or for worse. I'll tell you what, folks. Somebody called in to comment on the Rockefeller family and their Jewish origins. I'm going to talk about that next week. Everybody's fascinated by that subject. We'll talk about it. Now, in the meantime, you have a good weekend. I've got a lot of work to do, and I'll look forward to speaking at you and speaking to you on Monday, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Sorry to those callers, Dan and Matt and John, that we couldn't bring up.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.com.